So Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to receive to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields, for me and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Andy.
Thanks very much, Helena. We're going to spend some time listening to God speak to us through those verses now. So if you've got a Bible, please keep them open in front of you. Welcome as well to those that have put messages on the live chats since the Church Family News over the last couple of minutes. It's great to have you with us this morning. Let me begin by praying for our time together. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word now, please would you open our eyes so that we might see wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a question in the passage this morning, verse 17. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Or, as the passage puts it in other places, receive the kingdom. Receive the kingdom of God, verse 15. Or have treasure in heaven, verse 21, or enter the kingdom of God, verse 24, or to be saved, verse 27. In other words, how do we gain life with Jesus forever? How do I become part of God's kingdom? How do I become a follower of Jesus? Now, eternity is a long time. It goes without saying, doesn't it? So there is no greater question this morning. There's no more pressing question than to grapple with. How do I gain eternal life? How do I receive the kingdom? How do I enter into life with Jesus now and forever? And maybe you're watching this morning because that is the very question that you're grappling with. Maybe you're watching because actually it's a sense of assurance that you're looking for. How do I know that I've got this life that Jesus offers? Eternity is a long time. But we also live in the here and now. We live in the present. So what difference does it make in Southport in November 2020? What have I signed up for? What does it mean to have eternal life now? To be part of God's kingdom in the present, as well as for eternity? Well, that's what we're thinking about this morning, and so we're going to dive straight in to Jesus' words that we've got there in front of us. And the first thing that Jesus says is we are to receive this life, receive the kingdom as a gift. We're to receive the kingdom as a gift. Let me read verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. Now we've seen all the way through Mark's account of Jesus' life that crowds flock to Jesus. When Jesus is in town, people are drawn to him. There's a magnetism. People want to spend time with him. And again, maybe you feel a sense of that draw towards Jesus this morning. And it's the little children here, we're told, that are being brought to Jesus. But the disciples, well, they're acting like Jesus' bodyguards, the security for some A-list celebrity. Stand back, out of the way, please. No, Jesus is very important. He doesn't have time for you. Move out of the way. Move on. Well, look how Jesus responds to that. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Now, indignant is putting it mildly. What on earth do you think you're doing? He goes on, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a little child will never enter it. Do you see what Jesus is saying, the point that he's making? To enter the kingdom of God, to enter life with Jesus, we're to do so by receiving it like a little child. Now Jesus is not talking about the innocence of children here. If you spent any time with children, particularly if you spent time with children in lockdown or in a socially isolating house, you'll know that children aren't innocent. It's about simply receiving life with him as people who have no status, who have nothing to bring, nothing to offer. You see, we value children. We place a great and good value upon children. Friday, November the 20th, was World Children's Day. But that wasn't the case in Jesus' day, not in this world. Children were insignificant, they were unimportant, they didn't have values and rights of their own. So Jesus is saying, look, to receive the kingdom like a little child is to recognize we've got no status, no claim, nothing that makes us deserving of a place in God's kingdom. We simply receive it. We just receive as those who bring nothing. Well, children are still great at receiving, right? I worked out this morning, it's Christmas in 33 days' time, which is going to send lots of us into a panic. But ignore that for the time being. Picture the scene on Christmas morning. The child who has been desperate all year for, let's say it's a PlayStation 5. PlayStation's just come out. Their parents hand them the present on Christmas morning. They give it a shake. They feel the box. They know from its size and its weight that it is a PlayStation 5, even before they've opened it. And so they say to their parents, "What do I owe? What can I give you?" No, they don't say that at all, do they? It doesn't cross their minds that they're in any way deserving or they need to do something for it. No, they simply scream their thanks, and in their joy, they rip open the present in record timing, flinging packaging all over the room, and before you know it, they've got it plugged in and they're logging on. And that is the point that Jesus is making here. We receive life with him. We receive the kingdom as a gift. As a gift that we don't deserve, that we bring nothing to. Verse 16. "And he took the children in his arms, he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them." You see, they come with nothing. And he blesses them, and he welcomes them. And this is what Jesus has come to do. It's what he's been teaching in these chapters of Mark's gospel. You see, he's come to give his all. He's come to suffer and to die and to rise so that we can have all the blessing. All the blessing of life in his kingdom. The blessing of forgiveness of sins. The blessing of freedom from guilt. The blessing of peace in the present and hope for the future. The blessing of life with Christ as a gift. And we simply receive. There's a line in an old hymn, Rock of Ages. Many of you will be familiar with it. And it goes like this: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." And that is how we enter his kingdom. And we bring nothing, we simply come to Jesus and we receive the life he offers. And that's how we continue in his kingdom. Every single day, we bring nothing and we simply enjoy receiving all that he has done. Now that's the good news of Jesus, that we simply receive like little children with no status. We receive the kingdom as a gift. We receive the kingdom as a gift. So that means receive the kingdom, don't try to earn it. That's the flip side of that, isn't it? And Jesus says that in verse 15. "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a little child will never enter it." Well, off the back of those words, enter stage left, the man in verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, and that's on the way to the cross, on the way to Jerusalem, a man ran up to him and he fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, here's a man who seems genuine. He's not trying to test Jesus like the Pharisees last week in verse 2. And now here's someone who knows that Jesus is special. He runs. He's undignified in running to Jesus. He falls on his knees. He calls him good teacher. This is a genuine inquiry. How do I enter into God's kingdom? But you see, he's going about it the wrong way. And we see it in his question straight away, don't we? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus has just taught, we simply receive. But this man, he wants to do something. He thinks he can be good enough. And so Jesus immediately and gently goes about exposing that wrong way of thinking. Verse 18, he says, why do you call me good teacher? No one is good except God alone. See, Jesus is automatically directing the man's attention away from his own standards and to God's perfect standards. Only God is truly good. And Jesus goes on, verse 19. Look, you know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Tick, tick, tick. Yes, I've kept all these since primary school. I've kept them since I was at Bishop David Shepherd. There's nothing here that actually makes us think that he's not being genuine. He truly believes this. And you see, if we met this man as he moved in next door, we'd be delighted. We'd be over the moon. He's respectable. He's a churchgoer. He cares for his parents. He's a wealthy businessman who's honest in his dealings. His business gets 5-star reviews on Google. Verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know, don't miss that. Jesus looked at him. He knows all that's going on with this man, and he loves him. He has compassion on him. Jesus loves sinners. Because actually that's what this man is. And it's what Jesus goes on in love to expose. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Now let's be really clear what's going on here. Jesus is not saying to the man, okay, actually, you've got one more thing to do to be perfect, and you need to go and sell all your wealth, and then you'll be perfect. Well, no, that would be to contradict what he's just said about entering the kingdom, like a little child. No, instead, he's showing the man that he's not perfect, that he can never enter, he can never do anything to inherit eternal life. You see, the man's failed the first commandment. The first commandment, to have no other gods but the Lord. In 2 chapters' time, in Mark 12, Jesus summarizes the Old Testament commands as, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. See, Jesus has just exposed to the man that actually he falls at the first. He loves his money more than he loves the Lord. The man thinks he can do something. He thinks he can make it by his own efforts. And Jesus is saying, look, you've fallen at the first hurdle. That's why the kingdom has to be received as a gift. It is impossible for this man, this righteous, good man, to receive the kingdom because he loves something other than God. And that is true for each and every one of us, isn't it? There is always something that we love more. For this man, it was his wealth, it could be relationships, it could be a status, it could be a job, a family, it could be anything. You see, if we're to enter God's kingdom, to receive the life that he offers, we need to stop trying. We need to stop trying to earn eternal life. See, Jesus doesn't call you on the basis of your moral record. He calls you despite your moral record. We're to give up trying to earn our way into God's kingdom. We're to receive it as a gift. And you see, even when we have received life with Jesus as a gift, we can still feel so weighed down with guilt. And so if that is us, we're to ask ourselves, am I still thinking that I need to do something? Am I still thinking that I need to do something to earn or to keep my place in Jesus' kingdom? You know, if you feel like you're a second-class Christian because your life doesn't measure up to whoever it is that you look up to, or even if you look down on others and actually think, well, I'm doing quite well compared to my small group, my family. You need to ask yourself, are you still trying to do something? Do you still think it depends upon you to inherit eternal life? We need to give up our ways of trying to inherit, of trying to keep eternal life. It is a gift. Well, it's a gift of grace. of God's kindness to us. And we're just going to pause for a moment and we're going to reflect on the fact that we receive God's gift of life as grace. The band are going to sing a new song. It's a song that we listened to at the end of last week's service. But we're going to listen to it. You can join in at home as we reflect on that we receive God's kingdom as a gift. We don't need to earn it. We're to receive the kingdom as a gift, and we're to receive the kingdom, so stop trying to earn it. And we're to receive the kingdom and leave everything. We're to receive the kingdom and leave everything. You see, back in that passage in Mark 10, when Jesus calls the man to sell everything in verse 21, he's not playing games with him. He genuinely wants the man to sell everything. Why? Because he calls the man to follow him. Follow me, he says, the end of verse 21. And do you remember the words back in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, where Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Following Jesus means, for this man, the giving up of pursuing wealth and riches and money as his God. And he's not prepared to do it. Verse 22, at this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus says it's hard. It's hard to give up everything and follow Jesus. It is hard to deny self. And actually, to the disciples' astonishment, Jesus makes it plain just how hard it is. Verse 24. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, you may have heard that there was a gate in Jerusalem at that time called the Needle, and for a camel to go through it, it needed to crawl and go on its knees. There was no such gate. There's no record of such a gate. That is basically a way of softening Jesus' teaching here. Jesus is saying it's as possible for this rich man to enter life with him as it is for a camel, the largest animal they could think of, to go through the eye of a needle, the smallest opening they could think of. Look, even if you chopped up the camel, I've been thinking about this week, even if you chopped up the camel and you blended it, and you try to get it through kind of one little blob at a time, you can't do it. I can't even thread a piece of cotton through the eye of a needle. In other words, it's impossible. It's impossible for a wealthy person to give up their claims on their wealth and follow Jesus. But the thing is, it's not just wealthy people. It is everyone, rich and poor alike. Because that is what Jesus says in verse 26, isn't it? Because the disciples, they're even more amazed at this. Now, they think riches are a sign of blessing from God. But no, they're astounded. Who then can be saved? Receiving life in his kingdom as a gift, Jesus calls people to deny themselves, to follow him, to give up everything, to stop pursuing your own agenda and purposes and God's and live for him. And that is impossible for us to do. Jesus looked at them and says, you know, effectively, you're right. With man, this is impossible. But not with God. All things are possible with God. It is impossible for any one of us to choose to give up our own agendas and to follow Jesus. Rich or poor, to take up our cross needs a miracle from God. And every single one of us who follows Jesus Christ is a miracle. God has done the impossible. He has made the impossible possible. He has worked that miracle in our hearts that overcomes our desires to pursue our own agenda and results in us following Christ. And you see, if you're standing on the edge and you think, I'm not sure that I can give up all, you can't. But God enables you to. We simply ask. We receive the kingdom and we leave everything. But the question you're all asking, right, is, do I need to give up all my possessions? All I have, and do I need to give it all away? Well, when I've not been thinking about camels in blenders this week, I've been thinking about that question as well. And it's the wrong question. The question is, will you follow Jesus? Are you following Jesus? That's the question to ask. Because if you are, you have already given up everything. You have already given up your possessions and your wallet and your wealth. Your money is no longer your own. Your time, your relationships, your plans, your dreams. Jesus has claimed them all. At the moment we receive his kingdom, this is what we signed up for. And so our lives are now a continual, how do I use my time, my money, my possessions to serve Jesus? He's not a bolt-on extra to our lives. He's everything. And so the question is, will we follow Jesus to live out what is his in every single area, in every single moment of our lives? Well, that's huge, isn't it? So is it worth it? Is it worth it to receive the kingdom and give up everything? Well, that's the question that is implied with Peter in verse 28. Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." And Jesus replies, "Receive the kingdom and you won't miss out. Receive the kingdom and you won't miss out." We won't miss out because we gain Jesus. See verse 29. "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel." See what Jesus is saying? When we leave all for him, we gain him. We gain Jesus, who will never let us down, who has given his life for us, who can always be trusted, who is more precious than gold. We won't miss out because we gain Jesus. And we won't miss out because we gain each other. Jesus goes on, "Whoever's given up these things for me and the gospel will fail to receive." No one who has left these things will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. We won't miss out now because we gain each other. Jesus is not saying we gain 100 houses when we begin following him. Rather, we get welcomed in to 100 homes. We may face loss and rejection of family and relationships, as some within our church family have suffered and are suffering. But we gain a new family in the present, God's people, and we are welcomed in to their homes and their families. Many of you know Brenda and George Phillips, many of you also know that Brenda has terminal cancer. I spent some time with them this week, and she's very clear, and she'll be watching this morning, very clear that she's received the kingdom as a gift and is confident of life with Jesus. But actually, she's been blown away by the care shown to her by God's people. Now, their family is spread all over the country in lockdown. And yet, George and Brenda have received countless offers of help, cards, phone calls, prayers. And that's a testimony, isn't it, to what Jesus is talking about here. We might give up. We might lose our families and our friends and our relationships, but we gain a church family. We gain God's people. We won't miss out because we gain Jesus, because we gain each other. And finally, because we gain eternity. There may be persecutions now, as Jesus says, but in the age to come, there is life eternal life. Jesus says, if you're last now, if your life is full of suffering and loss and ridicule and persecution, one day you will be first. You receive eternal life that you've gained with Christ. Receive the kingdom. You won't miss out. Let me finish with this story. It's probably not a true story. It's one of these fables, but it says what Jesus is saying here. The story goes that there was a wealthy Maharaja who was traveling through India on his elephants. And he comes across a beggar in the road. And the beggar's there pleading for some food. But to the beggar's surprise, the Maharaja says, "No, I'd like some food from you." Well, the beggar has just a few grains of rice in a bowl, but he still counts out five, and he hands them up to the Maharaja on the elephants. At which point, the man gets out a bag, he picks up five gold bars, and he gives them to the beggar. And it's like that with Jesus. Anything we give up for him now pales into insignificance compared to what he gives us. What he has given us through his death, what he gives us through his people, what he gives us for eternity. We're to receive the kingdom as a gift. Stop trying to earn it. Receive the kingdom and leave everything. Receive the kingdom because it's worth it. You won't miss out. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise you for Jesus. We thank you that he came into this world to give us life in his kingdom as a free gift. We thank you that he gives us life with him forever, life now with his people. We thank you that he calls us to leave everything. Father, thank you that that is a good thing. Help us to be those who live that out, who know what Jesus has called and claimed for our lives and live it out. Help us to know that whatever we give up for him, it is worth it. Because he is worth it. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we come to our last song, it's an opportunity to think more about what Andy has been saying to us. If you want to hear more, get in touch. If you want to know that reassurance by praying with someone else, then please get in touch. If you just want to go deeper with Jesus, then get in touch. But continue to think and continue to pray as we listen to these words, that reminder that only Jesus can rescue. Only he can save. Only he can lift us from the grave.
Thank you.
as we come to the end of our service. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. The next slide has the details for Zoom. Andy is already set up, so we look forward to seeing you there.
Christ, the hope in life and death. Christ, the hope.